Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. And welcome to a Monday edition of the Midday Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isub, every Monday to Thursday between 12 and 1 p.m. Today being the 9th of Jumad al-Ula 1446, corresponding to the 11th of November 2024. It's gone 8 minutes past 12 Central African time, and this is our recipe segment. So inshallah, let's begin with our first recipe. Our first recipe is from, it's titled, Roast Veggies with Leftovers. The numbers that if you want to send in your recipes or your recipe request, if you want any request or recipes to be read out, you can send it through on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. So this is titled, The Roast Veggies with the Leftover Chicken. So you're going to need 3 leftover roast chicken thighs, 3 leftover roast chicken thighs, half a head of a broccoli cut up, half a head of broccoli cut up, half a head of a cauliflower cut up, half a head of cauliflower cut up, 1 red onion cut up, 1 red onion cut up, 1 big potato cut up, 1 big potato cut up, 4 sprigs of fresh thyme, 4 sprigs of fresh thyme. Then you're going to need salt, pepper, olive oil and butter. Salt, pepper, olive oil and butter. Those are your ingredients. Your method, you're going to cut up the chicken in two. You're going to cut up the chicken in two. Thereafter, you're going to toss all the vegetables in the olive oil, salt, pepper, and thyme. Toss all the vegetables with olive oil, salt, pepper, and thyme. Thereafter, you're going to add in the butter to the bottom of the oven tray. Add in the butter to the bottom of the oven tray. Thereafter, you're going to spread out your vegetables. You're going to spread out your vegetables. Then you're going to add the chicken in between. You're going to cover with a foil and place in an oven on 180 degrees for 50 minutes. After 20 minutes, take out the foil and place it back in the oven. After 20 minutes, then you're going to take it out, take out the foil and place it back in the oven. And that was the recipe for roasted veggies with leftover chicken. Our next recipe we have is for sweet corn bhajias. Sweet corn bhajias. We say Jazakallah Khairan to Sister Fozia Pelwan for sending in the recipe. So you're going to need 1 cup of flour. You're going to need 1 cup of flour. You're going to need 1 egg. You're going to need 1 tin of cream style sweet corn. One tin of cream style sweet corn. One teaspoon of baking powder. 1 teaspoon of baking powder, 1 teaspoon baking powder, 1 teaspoon of dhana jiru, 1 teaspoon of dhana jiru, 1 teaspoon of green chilies and garlic paste, 1 teaspoon of green chili and garlic paste, half a teaspoon of salt, half a teaspoon of salt, 2 teaspoons of grounded green chilies, 2 teaspoons of grounded green chilies, you're going to need some chopped dhania, need some chopped dhania, and then you're going to need drop spoonfuls in medium hot oil. You're going to drop spoonfuls in medium hot oil and you're going to fry until it's golden. You're going to fry until it's golden. And that is a recipe for sweet corn bhajjas. Let me say Jazakallah Khairan to Sister Fawzia Palwan for sending in that recipe for sweet corn bhajjas. Our next recipe that comes in is for a beans curry. We say Jazakallah Khairan to Sister Mariam Muhammad for sending in this recipe. So what you're going to need, you're going to need 1 kilo of beans. Seven tablespoons of oil, 250 grams of onions, 250 grams of onion. Then you're going to need some curry leaves. Then you're going to need some curry leaves. 150 grams of tomato, 150 grams of tomato, 7 to 8 green chilies, 7 to 8 green chilies. Then you're going to need 1 teaspoon of turmeric powder, 1 teaspoon of turmeric powder. Then you're going to need 1 tablespoon of chili flakes, 1 teaspoon of chili flakes, 1 tablespoon of curry powder, 1 tablespoon of curry powder, 4 cups of coconut milk, 4 cups of coconut milk, and then you're going to need some salt. This recipe is for 30 people. So in a pan, you're going to add some oil. In a pan, you're going to add some oil. You're going to add the oil and the onions, and you're going to cook until the onion turns translucent. And you're going to cook until the onion turns translucent. Then you're going to add in the ginger garlic paste. You're going to add in the ginger garlic and the paste. You're going to add in the curry leaves and tomatoes. You're going to add in the curry leaves and tomatoes. And then you're going to add in some green chilies. Once the tomato turns mushy, then you're going to add in the spice. You're going to add in the following spices. You're going to add in your curry powder, the chili flakes, and the salt. You're going to add in the following spices, the curry powder, the chili flakes, and the salt. And you're going to saute well. Thereafter, you're going to add in the cleaned beans and cook on a low medium heat. Once the beans are 3/4 way cooked, add in the coconut milk and keep mixing continuously. Do not close the pan or the color will change. Continue mixing until the coconut milk has evaporated. And the oil is released. Once you see the oil, it's almost ready. You can cook in the oil for another minute or so. Now you can transfer the beans to a serving dish. And there you have your recipe for beans curry recipe. Our next recipe is for butter chicken pasta. This is a butter chicken pasta. So you're going to boil 1 packet of pasta. Then you're going to braise 1 finely diced onion in ghee. Add in 600 grams of finely cubed fillets. Thereafter, you're going to add in 1 teaspoon of ginger garlic. 1 teaspoon of green chili paste. Two teaspoons of ground chilies. 2 teaspoons of ground green chilies. 1 teaspoon of black pepper. 2 teaspoons of ground chilies, 1 teaspoon of black pepper, 1 teaspoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of chili powder. You're going to cook all of this and then one tin of whole kernel corn. Drained. So you're going to drain the tin out and then you're going to add it in. Thereafter, you're going to add in 2 tablespoons, 2 grated tomatoes. Then you're going to add in 2 grated tomatoes, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Then you're going to add in 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Half a tin of tomato puree. Two hundred fifty ml of fresh cream. 1/2 cup of milk. 1 tub of sour cream. 2 tablespoons of mayo. 2 tablespoons of mayo, half a cup of Nando's hot peri-peri sauce, half a cup of Nando's hot peri-peri sauce. Then you're going to simmer, add it to pasta. You're going to simmer, add it to pasta. Then you're going to toss it well. Then you're going to toss it well. Then you're going to sprinkle some parsley. You're going to sprinkle some parsley. And then you're going to serve it. Then you'll be able to serve it, or you can serve it hot. And those were your recipes for the butter chicken. And we gave out sweet corn bhajia. And there was another recipe that we gave out. I'm not too sure. Can't remember. Oh, yeah, the beans curry. The beans curry recipe. So those are the recipes. If you didn't catch it, then you can send the messages on 084-786-3132. International and overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Inshallah, we're going to be going for a small break. And thereafter, we will continue at around 12:30. I'll see you. We will continue with our segment that we started last week with Maulana Zaid Khan, inshallah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
It's gone at 12:30 Central African time, and this is where we have our discussion and our nasiha for the afternoon from 12:30 right up till 12:55, inshallah. We'd like to welcome Maulana Zaid Khan. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Brother Suleiman?
Alhamdulillah, and you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, so inshallah we're going to be discussing, or we're continuing with janaza.
Gee.
And we're at the point now where the mayat has come back now, Maulana.
Gee, we still, there's one or two things. What's the benefits of exercising patience and the rewards as well?
Okay, so when a person passes away and how to give the condolences, and when you go into the house, when a mayit isn't there yet, then don't sit there too long. You know, just offer your condolences and, you know, until it's necessary.
Gee. And what I actually want to share is the incident of Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, who is the wife of Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. And remember, thereafter she becomes the beloved wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she then becomes the Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. And remember the advice that was given to her, and this was given to her by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She narrates the whole incident. The incident is as such: Abu Salama, her husband, passed away. And Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she recites this dua, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that we've mentioned before. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So you add this portion here, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. O Allah, reward me in my calamity and grant me something better in place of it. So at the time of such a calamity, let's perhaps at this also at this juncture, let's share with you when Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his bed to leave this temporary world. And Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha was there, and she expresses this emotion where she says, Wa karba abata, wa karba, how how excruciating are the pangs of death. And this is for her honorable father, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, best of creation. And he also sallallahu alaihi wasallam, till that last moment, experienced so much of pain, difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Laysa ala abiki karbun ba'd al-yawm," that after today, there won't be any more pain upon your father. So that shows till that last moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam experiencing difficulty. And when the best of creation, when the cream of Allah Azawajal's creation is going through such difficulty, then when you and I experience difficulty, we don't ask for difficulty. So remember, we don't ask for patience. You don't ask for difficulty. So upon occasion, I asked our honorable teacher, Hazrat Mulana Shabir Saluji, Damat Barakatuhu, that, but at this dua, when we make dua, Allahumma afriq alayna sabra wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. So here we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower us with this quality of patience. Enable us to have that quality of patience. Allahumma afriq alayna sabra. Ya Allah, pour down upon us patience. So aren't we asking for patience, yeah? So Hazrat Mawlana Shabir Saluji Damat Barakatuh responded and said, this year is when you're already in the calamity now. The calamity is staring at you. You are on the battlefield. The Mujahideen are there on the battlefield. And the forces of Batil, the enemies, are coming to attack now. So you don't ask to meet the enemy. But when they are already coming, Allahumma afriq alayna sabra wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. And strengthen, make firm our feet, and help us, assist us against the kuffar. So remember, at times of difficulty, and especially at those critical times, then remember Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had to go through it, yet he is the chosen, yet he was sent as a mercy. So do not allow your thoughts to go towards saying that no, Allah, you know, such statements we make at that particular difficulty, trial, tribulation. So make these du'as, Allahumma jurni fi musibati. O Allah, grant me, reward me in my calamity. And I was telling you about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In English you say, my blue-eyed daughter. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's coolness of his eyes, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, was there standing there witnessing. You know, when Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go on a journey to minimize the separation time between Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his daughter, honorable daughter, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, he would make it such that the last house that he must leave from must be her house. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returns, he would go to the masjid, perform two rakats of salah, then go to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha's house. She's witnessing this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to leave this temporary abode. Wa karba abata, how severe are the pangs of death. Oh, my beloved father, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Laysa ala abiki karbun ba'd al-yawm, that after today there won't be no more pain upon your father. And then Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha reports, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes away. And as this happens, she doesn't go into the state of wailing and going. She was, of course, trained by the best of creation, trained by the master of this in terms of creation, showing mankind how to become ardent worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had trained her. And when she witnesses this, she recites couplets. Now imagine reciting couplets. What frame of mind, how much of control you must have over your thoughts to still construct words, and not just any words, to make it that it's valuable words. This is something. To have that kind of, they speak of mind power. In English, they say it's a mind of the matter. What was the power of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha's mind at that critical juncture? So, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha says, Ya Abata, ajaba rabban da'a, Ya Abata, Ya Abata, Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa, Ya Abata, Ila Jibreel Anan'a. Listen to it again, and listen to how it has that rhythmic approach to it. Ya Abata, ajaba rabban da'a, Ya Abata, Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa, Ya Abata, Ila Jibreel Anan'a. Oh, my beloved father, oh, my beloved father, you have responded to the call of your sustainer. Ajaba Rabban Da'a. Oh, my beloved father, you've responded to the call of your sustainer. Ya Abata, Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa. Oh, my beloved father, Jannatul Firdaus is your abode. Ya Abata, Ila Jibreel Anan'a. Oh, my beloved father, Jibreel alayhi salam used to come with revelation. Now, when Jibreel alayhi salam comes, we'll have to give him the news that you, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are no more. You left this temporary world. So, controlled Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha was in her thoughts, in what she's saying. So this teaches us to be maintained, contained. And this dua, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha makes, Allahumma, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati. O Allah, reward me in my calamity. Wa akhlif li khayran minha, and grant me something better in place of it. In place of it, grant me something better. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha mentions, her husband passed away. She says, I thought to myself, I practiced upon this dua, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam instructed me to do so. And who could be better than my husband? Because remember, she made dua that, Ya Allah, grant me something better. So she lost her husband, Abu Salama, radiallahu anhu, and she's making dua, Ya Allah, grant me something better. And who can be better, she is saying, who is better, who can be better than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Look at what she got. You can't call it a substitute. You can't call it a replacement, but something better was granted to her. This is the barakah of practicing sunnah. And like this, we have, as we said earlier as well, when our deen is so codified, we serve as a threat to the enemies. Because they cannot indoctrinate us, they cannot brainwash us We are codified. We know what to do at every single juncture. Alhamdulillah. And to say that Allah, or we don't know, this is a, often we make these statements that it's a, this year is something unheard of, and the solution has to be dealt with in this particular way. And you go deeper into those statements that have been made, where people start to say certain things, that we are living in such a times that you have to do some things. Whereas the solution, if you just take one thing, maybe inshallah it will resonate. If I say, or if a female says, that I am chauffeured, so that is because the West has made it such that is that seems to be something honorable to be chauffeured. But if you have to say that your husband, if a Muslim female says, and we've heard the statement beautifully said by one Muslimah, when they asked her, "You don't drive?" She said, "I don't like to drive. I like to be driven. I like to be driven." Driven by who? Driven by a mahram. Driven by someone who is worried about who will be there. You've got guards, but you don't know which side of the end they are working for, or which side of the end. You've got this, that, but can you really safely say, but your mahram? We don't know of mahrams in a hurry who will just gladly, intentionally want harm for their, those whom they serve as guardians for. So if a Muslimah says, "I love to be driven," so isn't that better than being chauffeured also? All the time she's been, there is a Muslim female. Allah has protected her. The system is such. We're not speaking of exclusive situations. On the whole, a woman, a girl, first the father, under the guardianship of a father, brother, uncles, like this. And then in marriage, under the guardianship of a husband. And then at all times, she's under the guardianship of someone. Such protection Allah has granted the female. But when you want to strip yourself from all of this, which Allah has guarded you with, in your homes, in that, and we say, when you have something that is golden, you won't place it for anyone, all and sundry to touch, all and sundry to see. You place it somewhere hidden. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted. Similarly, like this, at all times, we just gave you an example, when you practice upon the Sharia, you may not understand it. I'll give you one example. Recently, there was a, we were at some particular place, someone's home, and a person said to us that, where is it proven that you must say Allahu Akbar? Where is it proven that you must say Allahu Akbar when you finish your salah? So you know it's our habit. As soon as we make salam, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. So they wanted to raise this question. Not the alim or anything, but where is it? Why do you do this? Why do you people do this? It's an innovation. And then you see it's in the hadith, Bukhari Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he finished his salah, he would, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, I heard Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam audibly saying Allahu Akbar. He heard him saying it. Allahu Akbar. So at that time you couldn't find the hadith, but then you see, and one day Allah shows you. You are holding on to, you see your kabirin practicing, and you know they practice on the sunnah, and you follow it, and one day you see the hadith is there. What joy doesn't it bring to you? And this is what I'm saying, codified. So when you lose someone or something, you have any catastrophe, then learn this dua. First you're going to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And that is mentioned, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 155-156. Then recite, Allahumma jurni fi musibati. Oh Allah, reward me in my calamity. There's nothing wrong with this. People think, you know, when someone passes away, you can't make dua, you mustn't smile, you mustn't. Yes, it is. You have 3 days of mourning. But you can communicate to Allah. You can say, Ya Allah, Allah, even if you say it in English. Oh Allah, reward me in my musibah. Wa akhlif li khayram minha, and grant me something better in place of it. You lost something, you lost your car, you lost some difficulty. You didn't ask for it. But at that time, ask for something better. This is taught in the sunnah. Now is your time to turn towards Allah. And as we said to you last week, when is that time of patience? It is on at that calamity. It just struck at that time. Inna, you recite these duas. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. After 3 years, 4 years, you then start to say, "Hey, I'm practicing sabr." That peak moment is gone. The heat of that difficulty, the intensity, has worn off already. Now, of course, whether you like or not, you've been forced. But the true test is at that time when you face that difficulty. Again, I'm going to say that dua. Allahumma jurni fi musibati. O Allah, reward me in my difficulty, in my musibah. Wa akhlif li khayram minha. And grant me something better than what I lost. In practice, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha made this dua at the demise of her husband, Abu Salama radiallahu anhu. And in, you can't say replacement, I said to you, but what was given that was better than a husband? It was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these are the effects, of course. Nobody's going to get that again. Nobody's going to, now it's, the time is over. But you will get something. Then you could ask this question as well. Which husband could be better than a Sahabi, Abu Salama radiallahu anhu? So you could ask that question as well. But you will get something better. And there's nothing wrong with it. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
And we say Jazakallah Khairan and to Maulana for giving us those inspiring words and how to overcome grief and the Masnoon Duas, and one should read and look at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Noble Quran in Surah Baqarah, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And to him do we belong, and to him is our return. But look at this, there's another dua that is there, Maulana. Allahumma fi musibatin.
Ji.
Allahumma ja'alni.
Allahumma ajurni.
Allahumma ajurni fi musibatin. That, oh Allah, you must give me khair, like goodness, and grant me reward.
Reward
in my suffering.
In this difficulty.
Yeah, in this difficulty suffering. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in so many places in the Quran, Surah Alam Nashra, fa inna ma'al usri usra, inna ma'al usri usra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say once, but He says it twice. And it's a promise and it's a kalam of Almighty Allah that after every difficulty there is ease. And also, Even if it means you getting pricked by a needle is a form of your sins being exasperated, is a form of cleansing you and bringing you on Sirat al-Mustaqeen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is cleansing you. You know, this is, we heard many places where the people say, or where great Sahaba or narrators of a hadith, where that they heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that something to the effect that if I have been given with, I've been afflicted with such pain, then you take it like a soldier. Because why? It's a means of getting closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabis and Anbiya went through so much of challenges. Look at Nabi Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. He was afflicted with wealth, health, children, his livelihood, his crop. But the only two things that were beating were his heart and his tongue. And he was making the dhikr and the remembrance of Almighty Allah. And Shaitan even went up to him as an individual. And he says, your Lord has given you so much, he has taken away so much from you, but you're still going on Sirat al-Mustaqim, going on following on this path. He says, what my Allah has given me is a test, and I will take it as a test because I know my Allah will never fail me and he will grant me everything of the best. And with such conviction in his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him double of everything. His wealth, his health, he got better. His crop doubled. His livelihood increased in so many ways. So we must never think that, you know, whatever we are going through in this world, remember that this world is just, is not even significant in the wing of a mosquito in the eyes of Almighty Allah. So we mustn't take this, because the world is a paradise of a kafir and a prisoner of a mu'min. Because we came here to earn our akhirat. Because this is nothing for us. Our main aim is to strive for Jannatul Firdaus A'la. We will go through affliction, we will go through people who will try to deviate us across away from Siratul Mustaqeen. We are insan, Shaitan has in minions to do all this here. But at the end of the day, if we go astray, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful. He says, my banda, you come back to me, I will still forgive you for the sin that you have done. In Ramadan, the last 10 days, the last Ashura, the dua that we read. Mulana, help me out here. That dua that you read. Allahumma ja'alni, no, Allahumma ja'alni. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'anna ya kareem. You read that dua, Allah Ta'ala is saying that you make that dua, Allah Ta'ala will wipe away your sins as a clean slate, like you've never did any sin. Look how merciful Allah is. When 11 months of the year we sin, we make guna, Ramadan is a time for Almighty Allah, and Allah Ta'ala has given us that opportunity to come back to him, to ask for his forgiveness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for his, to give his mercy, to give his forgiveness to his banda, because he knows that my banda, and Shaitan has made that solemn promise when Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created. Shaitan said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me respite, let me take your banda away or put them off track. He says, I'll give you that respite till the day of Qiyamah. But remember, my banda will always come back to me and ask for forgiveness, and I will always be willing to forgive them, because my mercy overpowers my anger. وَآخِرَ دَوْعَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ مُلَانَ جَزَاكَ اللَّهِ خَيْرًا
Brother Suleiman. Gee, inshallah, you've touched on another topic. Maybe we can also, in between, fit this in. Many people are suffering from depression. So we can fit that in, and depression.
And speaking of depression, a verse comes to mind from Surah Wadduha. Have we not found you lost and guided you?
Gee, but for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we won't say lost. For us, because it's referring to
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the, there wasn't any wahi for 6 months. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt that when A'udhu Billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had abandoned him. But inshallah, Mulana, that's another topic for another day. Jazakallah khairan.
Jazakallah khairan. Barakallah to the listeners as well. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And that was Mulana Zaid Khan with some inspirational nasiha, and also some things to ponder about as well. From the team of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the team of the Midday Show with myself, Brother Sulaiman Isub, every Monday to Thursday from 12 to 1. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You are listening to Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.